I believe we have something from the Lord for us. Short little message. So we're going to look to the Lord to bless us here this morning. Might be a little bit unusual, but the thought has come to me this morning about Adam and Eve, the first two created people. God created them, and He made them in His image. He made them, it seems like, as beings that He could communicate with. And it seemed like that's what God has always wanted to do toward mankind, to communicate with mankind. He wants us to talk to Him, spend time in His presence in a spiritual sense. And He wants to be able to talk to us and reveal things to us that are spiritual in nature. He wants to be able to help us with the temptations and trials of life. And so that's why He created mankind. And when man turns away from God and goes into whatever, you know, we can go into, we're defeating God's purpose with respect to ourselves. Now, Adam and Eve were the first people created, but they came to a point where they disobeyed God. It was their decision to disobey. Part of having freedom in this life means a freedom of choice. You must have a freedom of choice. God gave man a freedom of choice. He could choose to do good, or He could choose to do evil. Each one of us have that choice today even. We don't want to even think, like some people maybe have theorized, that, well, God shouldn't send us to hell because He allowed us the choice to do wrong. No. And we do wrong. Well, no, you don't have to do wrong. But Adam and Eve were created to please God. That's what they were created for. Do you know what they did? They went and disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, there was a separation from God. The question that the enemy of Eve's soul, the enemy of all of our souls, the question that he posed to Eve at that time was, if you do this, he told her that you will not surely die. And God had said, you will surely die. And so, no doubt, in her human understanding, you know how we think, we look at the situation through our eyes and our senses, and we think, well, I won't die by doing that. That thing looks like it's, well, I'll do that. But she died. Now, that death that she went through, death was a separation from life.
Yes.
When she did that, and then Adam followed her into that life of sin, they were separated from God. Separated. In other words, whereas they were able to commune with God, seemed like in a very close relationship, there was a distance placed between them. And God, in His wisdom, He said that, I'm going to remove you from this place that has been so ideal. I'm going to remove you from this place, and I'm going to put you out into a place where you're going to have sorrows, you're going to have temptations, you're going to have difficulties, you're going to have to work for your living. And He separated them and put them out like that. They went on. The next generation. In comes the sin of murder with the next generation. One child rises up and murders the other child, takes the other child's life. No doubt when Adam and Eve did what they did at the beginning, they never conceived in their mind that one of their children, offspring, somebody that came from them, would rise up and kill the other one. You know, that's a grief. I'm sure that as a parent, that would cause you some grief to have one of your children rise up and destroy another child, the other one, and both of them are yours. But that's what Eve and Adam brought upon all those that followed them when they first decided to step out of the order of God's will. They brought those things on. When they were making their decision as to whether or not they were going to follow the commandment that God had given them, no doubt they were thinking just about what was being told them. They were thinking about considering their desires, and they looked at that fruit and it looked like it was good. That's a fleshly desire. And so that's where their minds were when they were presented with the temptation to do wrong. Mankind has presented to him many temptations to them.
Yes.
Men and women, mankind.
Yes.
We have many temptations presented to us, and there are decisions that we make.
That's right.
In the midst of those temptations, and many times we make those decisions based on our little reasoning, what we understand, what we like or what we dislike, and we just take it from there and proceed. One thing after another. So the second generation, Adam and Eve's generation, the second generation brought more of this thing called sin and disobedience of whatever God's law was and what God wanted for mankind. When Adam and Eve were separated from God, then they got into trouble thinking about what they wanted to do. So the next generation and the next generation, right on down the line, until it came to a point where God said, you know what, I'm going to destroy this whole thing.
Yes.
This is a mess. It's just these people that are on the face of the earth, their thoughts are evil continually. And so God said, I'm going to just wipe it off. And we'll just have a little crew and we'll start over again. Just a few people. Do you not know that when we disobey God's will, doing things that we want to do, thinking about ourselves, really, making decisions just based on nothing but me, my feelings. Do you not know that there are consequences to those things that go way beyond what you thought? Way beyond. You'll see suffering and problems in your family, your immediate family, and you may live to see problems and things in a generation to follow them.
That's right.
Into your grandchildren.
Yes.
And some of those things may be started with you.
Yes.
If you were not living for the Lord.
Yes.
Or if you were doing things, making decisions based on just what you think. Temptation rose up and I just did this because that's what I think and I think and I want and whatever. And you just make a decision and go with it. And you don't realize that the generations to come, they may suffer for what your decision was. You never even think of that. But that's what happened. Now, Adam and Eve, I am sure, when they were in that beautiful place where they were created to be in, they could never, ever at all picture the situation that came upon the earth generations later. It never would have come to their mind. Let's say, for instance, how it was when Noah was on the earth.
Yes.
Or let's say how it was when Abraham and Lot were dealing with those problems and the angels came down there to try to save Lot out of that place. the things that the children of Israel got involved in later years of idolatry and so forth. Adam and Eve could never understand the consequences of where that thing was going.
Oh, Lord.
Men separated from God, living in a state of sin, living in a state of not even considering what God wants for them in their lives. It's a very bad place to be in. Each one of us, no doubt, we've all made some decisions like that just based on what I think. And you know what happens when you do that. A lot of times you get into trouble. Here we are, Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning we call it, and I was thinking of how that many places today, over this past weekend, the last few days even, there have been people thinking about this as this thing they call Easter holiday or Easter vacation, spring vacation, whatever it is. And they haven't been thinking about this thing in any kind of a serious light, really. But there have been some that have, no doubt. And there have been some that have gone to different kinds of plays and things acted out concerning Jesus Christ's death and his passion and death and then his resurrection. There have been people that have gone to these things and observed these things and maybe given it some thought. And then there have been other people that coming up upon this Easter Sunday that maybe their thing was to go out and buy some new clothes, something special to wear this occasion, something new. And then there have been others that have gone out and made Easter egg hunts and little Easter bunnies and all this kind of thing. And different people have done different things concerning this time.
Yes.
But many of those things are not sober and really don't do justice at all to what we are wanting to think about today. This time that we are in today, this is a time for us to seriously consider not just the historical events. Some people may say supposedly historical events that occurred. But the real historical event that occurred, that thing was real. Yeah. But we're here not just to think about Jesus' death and his resurrection in the light of an historical event. We're not here to think of it as the establishment of Christianity worldwide and the implications that it had for mankind throughout those years since that time. Not just that, but this morning we want to try to bring our minds in to realize that this time that we are making a special observance of today is a time to bring home some spiritual convictions about Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. Some serious spiritual convictions. If the life of Jesus, if the death of Jesus, if the resurrection of Jesus doesn't have anything to do with you today and doesn't have any effect on you today, the whole thing is in vain for you. It's just some story. Something that someone, I don't know, some people say a myth. There are people that's all it means, folks. They are casting away their salvation. But you know, not one of us should do that here today. We have a special opportunity. Man, after the sin of Adam and Eve, mankind dug a big old pit in sin. It was a terrible thing. God began to call after man. He began to give man commandments to help man to realize what even sin was. You know, it's a blessing to just know that something is sin. It's a wonderful thing for God to come to you and tap you on the shoulder and say, "That I don't like. I don't approve of that." That is God talking to us, and He's trying to draw us to Him.
Yes.
But mankind, not just, you might say, in the Bible, what's recorded in there, mankind dug a hole for themselves. People have dug a hole for themselves right here today in this time world. Involved in sin, not giving a thought to the ramifications of what they're involved in. All many people are thinking of is, does it affect me? And then some people come to the conclusion that I can do thus a thing, and it doesn't hurt me, and it doesn't hurt anybody. Some people say, well, this thing that I'm involved in, it might hurt me, but it won't hurt anybody else. You see how the enemy knows how to deal with mankind's mind? He can deal with mankind's mind, and sometimes we follow what he says. But when we do that, we proceed down the path in our life, making wrong decisions, one right after another sometimes, not putting God in His proper place, not honoring Him as the one that really loves and cares for us. And so we go on and we get involved in things, and our lives can be really tangled up, messed up. A real mess. In Psalms, the 40th chapter, David said, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit." He realized that he had been doing things that were wrong. He had done some wrong things. He had made some wrong decisions. And here he was able to realize the revelation of God came to him and helped him to realize that he was in a horrible pit.
Yes.
Not just in a pit, but in a horrible pit. In a terrible fix. A horrible pit. You know, it would be bad enough for somebody to dig a hole 12 or 15 feet deep and put you in it and make you stay in it for a couple of weeks. That'd be a pretty bad situation. But they could put all kinds of little bugs and rats and things off down in that pit. And put some water off down in there and different things. And they could make it a horrible pit.
Yes.
They could make it so that you couldn't almost sleep for 2 weeks. See, you would be so glad to get out of that place. So here David is saying, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit." When you're in that pit of sin, you're in a horrible place. He said, "He brought me up out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord."
Praise God.
It is by the death of Jesus Christ, the shedding of His blood, that you have the opportunity to come up out of a horrible pit. Living in the pit of sin, that is a bad place to live. Now, sometimes we think, well, it's bad out here in life. There are places where what we call criminals are put, and they are put in those places against their will, and they're held there against their will. And so in these kinds of places, outside of a society, you have people that have been involved in all kinds of sin.
Yes.
Just because it's not against the law doesn't mean it's not sin and wickedness.
That's right.
There are people that have all kinds of ugly, mean spirits about them, too.
Yes.
The murderer isn't just a sinner because he raised the knife and stabbed somebody and did something. That murderer is a sinner because of what's going on in his heart and mind. He has some very ugly things down inside of his heart and mind. Those things just played out. Mankind, if you were able to look around you and see where you were, you would agree that this place that we call this world, this place we live in, it is a horrible old pit to be in. If you could just see the spirits, the attitudes, just open up your eyes and see the sin that's all around about you. All of this stuff has been caused by not just you making decisions for yourself, but it's been caused by all of these other people out here, all of them making decisions for themselves. Doing what they want to do. When you cut loose mankind and let him just do whatever he wants to do, you're going to have a mess. You're going to have a mess. And that's what we got. A mess. But you know, we have a Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That he's given us something that can lift us up out of this horrible pit. The blood of Jesus. You know, when mankind has done all of these sins and all this wickedness, continually wicked in their attitude, lying, dishonest, cheating, murdering, looking out in lust and adulteries and idolatries and all kinds of wickedness. You could just name the whole catalog if you could. Men are continually creating new things that are wicked. But for all of those things that man has been doing, he deserves death. He deserves to be separated from God. Not just separated from God to just live his little old life here on earth and do what he likes to do. Oh, I'm having fun. But no, he deserves to be eternally separated from God. He deserves to be set aside to be with others of his same mindset. Could you imagine being put in a place with others that have done not just what you have done in wickedness and wrong and evil, but others that have done their own things? All kinds of things. Things that you feel, well, that is terrible. That's what I did is not so bad. But here you are with all of the people. Separated from God, eternally without God, in a night, in a place where there's no light, in a place where there's nothing but wickedness all around you. Evil spirits all around you. Not a place of rest. You know, when you're in amongst wicked and evil people, you know you can't rest.
No, that's true.
You go down to a bus station or someplace like that, you know why you got to watch your back. You know why you stand against the wall. There's a reason. Because if anybody's going to approach you, they got to come to your front. You figure, well, I'll have a better chance that way. But you imagine being put in a place where it's a whole lot of people. Done all kinds of things their whole life, and they're separated from God and put in a place forever. Mankind that has gone away from God, they deserve to die. They deserve to be in a place with all just like themselves. That's what you deserve. in Hebrews, the second chapter, ninth verse. Hebrews 2 and 9. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Jesus, he tasted death for all of us. He partook of that thing. In the 15th verse it says, "And deliver them." He did this. He died on that cross. He tasted death and it was bitter. The sins of all mankind put upon him. And he took it. He took it voluntarily. It was a heavy load. It was a time where it caused his shoulders to droop, I believe. A time maybe when maybe he just broke out in sweat. They say one place his sweat ran down, his drops of blood. He was praying so hard, so heavy. This thing was upon him so much. All the things that you have done, that I have done, things that were wrong. You know, we all followed Adam into sin. We did it, every last one of us. But Jesus, he bore all of that. He tasted death for every one of us, that we might be delivered from that fear of death. He was the first one to bring forth life from the grave. Himself. He brought it forth. He tasted death that we would no longer be subject to the bondage of sin. Now that's my little message for you this morning. He tasted death for you and for me. He suffered. He actually shed blood. He carried the burden of it, the mental burden, the psychological weight. He carried it. In that garden in Gethsemane, when he was praying there, he was toiling under that, taking his burden to his Father in prayer, and he carried the weight of the whole world, the sins of the whole world, right there, that place. And then he went out, suffered on the cross, blood was shed, he died. After he died, he rested in that grave a period of time, and then he came out of there. He came out of there to prove that you and I don't have to be subject to death and separation from God eternally. He proved it. He died there to prove and to make a way to pull you up out of that horrible pit you've been in. He did it. And today I want to encourage each one of us, let it not be in vain.
Amen.
Let it not be in vain.
Amen.
Take advantage of it.
Yes, Lord.
Mankind dug a horrible pit for himself. And each one of us individually, I believe, before we got saved, we had our own little pit. Now, if you're not saved, I know that you know what I'm talking about. If you're not saved and you look at your life, I know that you can see where you've dug yourself a hole. Got yourself in a hole where you're separated from God and you're there just dealing with stuff as it comes. The best way you can, just struggling alone. But I want you to know that there's a better way.
Yes, amen.
You don't have to be there. Your life does not have to be ruined by your following after the enemy of your soul. Your life doesn't have to be ruined like that and spent like that. But there is a deliverer. And just like we here in this location, we have a beautiful Sunday morning today outside. The weather's beautiful. That's the way your life can be.
Yes, amen.
You can look up and it's beautiful. Furthermore, God can give you something inside of you that even when you wake up and it may be cloudy and cold and raining, you can look up and say it's a beautiful day because of what's inside of you. I want to encourage anyone that doesn't know the Lord to come give your heart to the Lord. He can lift you up out of that horrible pit of sin. That place where you're in afraid. Afraid to get caught. Afraid this is going to happen. And you can, your mind can just run rampant. You know, the devil tempts you, gets you involved in something, and then he makes you afraid of the consequences. But you don't have to live like that. God has something better. Thank the Lord.